Welcome, you wonderful, purposeful, and beautiful humans to another episode of Hope Still Wins. I'm your host, Ben Higgins. Hope Still Wins is a place where we get to know thought leaders from diverse backgrounds and differing worldviews to help us feel less alone, more connected, and move us to become a better world together. Each week, I'll be interviewing inspiring and relatable guests in attempts to get to know their hearts, celebrate their stories, and explore the concept of hope to hear how and if it has played a role in their lives. Ultimately, answering the question, does hope still win? If so, why? And if not, why not? This week, I'm sitting down with the one and only Amanda Klutz. Amanda has been a bright light to many this year, in spite of one of the hardest years of her life. The story of her late husband, Nick Cordero's fight with COVID-19 reached millions, and as Amanda documented their journey on social media, she captured the heart of America with her unwavering hope in the midst of a scary unknown. After 94 days in the hospital, Amanda's husband, Nick, passed away from complications of COVID-19. I want to take a moment before we jump into this conversation to recognize any of you who have experienced loss like Amanda this past year. I am sorry for your loss. The whole team here is. And I pray for peace for you and your loved ones in this season. And I hope, if anything, we hope, if anything, this conversation can be a light in your day and leaves you feeling less alone. Well, in this episode, I talked to Amanda about her experience losing her husband, Nick, to COVID-19 at the beginning of 2020. Also, how to find a silver lining and hope in the darkest seasons of life. In addition, the unknowns of the grieving process. We also, and this is one of my favorite parts, we touch on the power of vulnerability and how life shows up when you choose to do the same. Last but not least, her new book, Live Your Life, which releases today. Yes, today. And how writing can be a form of therapy. As you know, and as we promised each week in these episodes, we like to ask you, the listener, a question. I invite you to respond on Instagram at Hope Still Wins in the comments or direct message us. We want this to be a conversation that is flowing and ongoing and back and forth amongst myself, the team, and all of you. So, after you listen to this week's episode, we ask you to ask yourself this question. Where do you find hope in the midst of 2020 moving in to 2021? What were your, as Amanda puts it, silver linings? The team and I are eager to hear your responses, so please, please message us. And speaking of responses, we were really excited when many of you wrote in to answer the question we proposed in episode 1 with Latasha Morrison. And today, I'm going to share a few of your answers. As a reminder, the question was, how are you living outside of your bubble and intentionally putting yourself in the path of discomfort? Katie M. shared that she is maintaining relationships with my friends in Haiti. Sometimes, Katie says, I wish I didn't have to face the weight of what I feel for them. But then I remember that if I didn't have that perspective of what their lives hold, I would be both more comfortable and more shallow. In this path of discomfort, I get to learn and grow and value what matters most, which is, as Katie shares, people. Katie, absolutely incredible. And for me personally, that's been my feelings when it comes to putting myself out of discomfort. Latasha said it best, anytime I felt uncomfortable, I know something is happening. It's how we experience pain, right? If we have a wound or a cut that needs to be healed, it's going to hurt for a bit. But as it's hurting and itching and doing all those things, we know something's going on beneath the surface that's going to change and going to secure that wound and going to heal us. Well, when it comes to people, as you say, Katie, knowing that there's people out there hurting, knowing that there's people out there suffering, it allows us all to have a little discomfort to push us to a place of empathy and also take action. Well, in addition to Katie's response, we had another response from Hannah F., and she responded, I just applied to sit on the diversity Equality and Inclusion Committee at my office. Looking forward to the opportunity to learn and hopefully make an impact at my office. Hannah, thanks for sharing, and we look forward to hearing this story. Please continue to message us and share what you've learned so that we can continue to communicate to people out there listening all the things that are happening in the lives of so many people who have listened to this podcast. Thank you. So don't stop writing us. Thank you for all responding. We look forward to celebrating more of you next week and telling more of your stories and your responses so that we can all learn together. Now, without further ado, that's how you say it, right? Without further ado, well, you get the point. On to my conversation with the light, the bright light that is Amanda Klutz. Amanda Klutz on the Hopes to Wins podcast today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's nice to be here.
Now, Amanda, do you know how you got here and how I'm lucky enough to have you on this podcast?
No, I don't. Fill me in.
Okay. Well, here's what happened. A few weeks ago, we reached out to my audience and said, hey, throw some names out there of people that you would like to have on the podcast in the future. And your name was number one. And so we said, easy win. I love it. I followed your story. And so we said, this is a no-brainer. And so we reached out and you were kind enough to join us. So you got a lot of fans out there.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, thank you so much to your fans. And like I said, I'm happy to be here. I'm a fan of yours, Ben. I watched your Bachelor season.
Really?
Yes. I think your season might be the last season I watched, and I'm admitting that, but
would you say your life's better or worse for that?
Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed your season. I thought it was very well done. And in fact, I think the next time I tried to tune in, I was not as impressed. And so that's why I didn't keep on going.
Well,
so I ended with a bang.
Well, we're both here now, both doing very different things. In fact,
yes.
Life's changed a lot for both of us. As I mentioned in the intro, your book, Live Your Life, is out today. This is a really exciting time for you. And one of the things that when we started Hope Still Wins, one of the hopes of it was that people listening would just feel less alone. I've said that over and over again, but like if all else fails here, somebody listening out there could go, I'm just not alone now. And you've done an incredible job over the last year of helping people feel less alone. And your book's going to do the same thing. So that's where I want to start. Amanda, why did you choose vulnerability? I just want to dive in from the, like, why was vulnerability the path that you said, this is how I want to confront the things going on in my life?
Oh my gosh. You know, it's a good question. I don't know if I knowingly chose it. You know what I mean? When I first started sharing my story, you know, with the world on Instagram, I first had 50,000 followers, not, which is not nothing, but also it's not anything compared to how it kept growing. So, you know, I just reached out to my community that I had, and I just thought it was an important thing to let people know that, you know, my husband was now in the ICU and the only symptom he had was that he was tired. You know, nothing, you have to put yourself back into like March of 2020, you know, everything on the news was telling you the exact opposite of that. There was no symptoms of if you're tired, you have COVID. So I just thought it was super important to let people know. And then, you know, my husband went through so much in such a short amount of time that that snowball effect of everything just kept coming. And I couldn't stop sharing the story because it was just too important for people to know what was happening.
But as you shared the story, something sacred happened. No matter what your belief system, something sacred happened, something communal happened. People started reaching out. Did you feel like they were reaching out in support or in intrigue or in a commonality and a relatability? Like what did you feel like the response was?
It was all of that, actually. I mean, there was so much love coming in. I mean, it was from medical advice to support to you know, my husband or my wife or my friend also has COVID, or, you know, I mean, it was like everything and anything, but it was like everything and anything that I needed at the time too. And I think, you know, when I look back on it now, you know, 'cause when you're in the thick of it, you don't really know what you're doing. You know what I mean? It was just like, it was just what was happening. But I look back on it now and I realize that in being very vulnerable every day and telling that story every day of what was happening, it was almost like I was going to therapy every day. You know, I was talking to the world, but when you talk to the Instagram on stories, you feel like you're just talking to yourself. You know what I mean? Until you press send, it goes out to the world and then everything comes back at you and you're like, oh yeah, I shared that. I just had a massive breakdown on Instagram stories. But like, it was just kind of, looking back, it was like I was doing therapy. I don't know. It's very crazy to think back on the whole thing, to be honest. And like how it was just a year ago, you know?
Yeah. Does it feel like a dream now? I mean, does it feel like, how does it feel now?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, you know, I hate to say this, but I'm such a person that is constantly like a year ago or, you know, 2 years ago, you know, dates just stay in my mind. And when I look back at photos and videos from that time, it feels like I didn't even live through it, or it feels like it was 5 years ago, or it feels like a movie. It feels like I'm looking at myself in a movie or something, because it was so crazy. It just was so like something that you can't even imagine happening, but it did, you know. And I'm actually very glad. I'm glad that I wrote this book for that reason, but I'm glad that I have all these pictures and things to look back on, because it's a good reminder to be like, yeah, that did happen, you know, and we're not out of it just yet. And I think it's a good, you know, just a good reminder.
So I just came out with a book in February called Alone in Plain Sight.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was 2 years of writing this. I'm really slow at this. But I started it because I had a story I needed to tell. But as I started to dive into it, wounds got reopened. Scabs that had not healed were fresh. And I was in a spiral. Like there's many moments in this, and probably why it took me 2 years, but there was many moments where I couldn't function because of the things that I was trying to uncover and thinking back to. Did you, as you wrote this book, because you obviously did it a lot faster than I could, which is impressive in every way. But as you wrote it, did you feel like it was therapeutic, or did it open up wounds in the past?
I mean, both. I think more so therapeutic. I started writing, well, HarperCollins reached out to me before Nick even passed, and I never thought I would be an author. I'm not a great writer, you know? So I brought on my sister, who is an incredible writer and who had been with me the whole time. And I said, if I'm going to do this, I'll do it with Anna. And they loved the idea. I started writing it 2 weeks after Nick passed. I was back in Ohio with my family, kind of just like taking some time to just slow down, you know, and back home in Ohio. And I would put Elvis to bed and I just would start writing. And I didn't even know really what I was writing. I didn't start at the top or anything. But oh my God, yeah, I've never cried as hard as writing this book. I mean, just like sometimes there was so much like tears and snot, I couldn't see the keyboard to like know what I was doing. There were so many times I would go to bed and I just would write to Anna, because Anna was in Paris. So I would be writing her saying, you know, Anna, I just finished, you know, a big chunk, so I'm sending it over to you. And I would always say to her, like, I can't believe this happened. How did this happen? And she would write back and she would be waking up and she'd go, I know, Mandy, I can't either. I finished writing last night too. And I was crying my eyes out. And you know, it's crazy because when you're writing, speaking to your old wounds thing, so much started to connect for me, you know, like I said, this all happened so fast. And in the midst of it, it seemed like a long time, you know, like day 80, day 83, and you think that's a long time, but then you look back and you're like, this all happened in only 3 months, you know, think how fast 3 months goes, you know? And so I just had so much in my head built up. And as I was writing, just so much started to connect, and it really helped me to process everything. And it was really cathartic, you know, I really think that it helped me get not past, but over, you know, over a huge hurdle, I think.
In 2021, it's definitely okay to talk about our mental health and happiness. Humans aren't meant to keep everything inside. It makes us sick, and therapy helps. That's why we've partnered with today's sponsor, BetterHelp. What is therapy exactly? Well, it's whatever you want it to be. Maybe you're not feeling motivated right now and would like some tools to help, or maybe you're feeling insecure in relationships or at work. Are you not dealing with stress? Well, whatever you need, don't be ashamed of normal human struggles and start feeling better because you deserve to be happy. And now, you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you to help. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/hopestillwins. Join over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health again. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/hopestillwins.
Well, it's been really interesting because in the last, or in the first couple weeks of this, kind of unplanned, I would say this was not the plan. We've had you, and then we started out with Latasha Morrison. I don't know if you're familiar, but she is the founder and CEO of The Bridge, which is an organization that does racial reconciliation. And just a few weeks before we interviewed her, her father had passed from COVID, and unexpectedly, super healthy guy. And it just kind of reminds me now as I'm sitting here of how many people have been affected in the last year. Unexpected things have happened, things that we would have never planned on, things that we would never dreamed of 2 years ago. So if there's somebody out there listening who has also had something unexpected, maybe it's COVID, maybe it's a loss of a job, maybe it's something that's happened in the last year of their life, what would be your message to them?
Like if they're grieving from loss?
Yeah, they're grieving.
You know, I think the grieving road is different for everyone. You know, I mean, when Nick first passed, I had so many people say, you know, get right into therapy, or, you know, the amount of books, grief books that people gave me, I mean, a stack right by my bed. Cause this is how you're supposed to grieve. And these are the grieving steps you're supposed to follow in order to, you know, feel better, Amanda. And none of it worked for me, you know, like you have to find your own path. And the other thing I'll say is, you know, people were always like, you know, in time, you're going to feel better. And I've actually found it kind of reverse. It's, you know, the grief process, it's hard, and it ebbs and flows for sure. But lately it's been really hard. You know, I see my little boy and he's doing all these adorable things right now because he's almost two and he's just becoming this little human, and he's so sweet and kind. And you know, you look at him and you're just like, I wonder what Nick would be doing with him right now, you know, or I wonder how they'd play and where he would want to take him and what he would teach him. And like those moments are just like gut wrenching. And so I don't even know if you can even say like, as time goes on, you know, cause that's another thing that people will tell you. I think that my biggest overall thing that really helps me though, is to remain, and it's so hard, I'm not saying it's easy, but like to remain grateful for what you have. You know, I look at Elvis and I'm like, but I have you, and I am healthy, and you're healthy, and our families are healthy. And I really try to remain grateful as much as possible. I wake up every morning and I always say what I'm grateful for, because when you think about those things, it's impossible to, you know, be negative. If you say five things that you're like so happy and grateful for, you can't, you know, it only makes you smile. You know what I mean? It's just, it's, but it's a road. It's not easy. It's, you know, it's the worst, to be honest.
When your name came up, we did, you know, we kind of pulled a couple people and they all said, you know, we know Amanda because of her optimism, her light. You know, they explained it as like a light, a joy, like you radiate a positivity. And let's be honest, like you have every reason to not be positive. Like right now, especially, like you could use every excuse to not be that person, but that's how people have seen you in the midst and getting to know you in the midst of a trauma and of a pain that was just unbearable. So does the gratefulness in the morning, does that attitude move to that optimism? And then why have you chose optimism and joy?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think innately I'm a positive person, I will say. Glass half full. I'm always like, you know, you can do it. Don't let anybody bring you down. You know, that's just like how I live my life. But I started this a couple years ago. I mean, I don't even know how many years ago, maybe even more, like 5 years ago. I woke up and I was on Instagram and I saw something that really just irked me, you know, a past thing. And I was just like, you know what? I'm turning that right away into something positive. And I started my AK positive thought of the day, which is the first thing I do on my social media every morning. I find a positive quote or I make it up or something. And that's like what I put on first thing in the morning, and it just stays with me and it's in my head. And whether I need it or whether I think other people need it, or I'm writing it for a friend, or I'm writing it just for, you know, hopefully anybody, it's, you know, our thoughts are so powerful. Like what we think about ourselves, what we think, what we tell ourselves, it's so powerful. So if the first thing you can put, the first thought you can put in your head is something positive, like you're just already starting your day off with a foot forward, you know?
Yeah. So what's next for you? You're up to a bunch right now, right? This book is coming out. You're a host. Elvis is growing and moving and grooving and doing his thing.
Yeah.
What does life look like now as you look beyond?
You know, listen, I love creating things and I love, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I have my fitness business and I have this apparel business with my sister as well. So I think, you know, growing all of those things and keeping them alive and thriving, you know, that's always the challenge. And, you know, just being a good mom for Elvis, I'm really loving this job at the Talk. It's been a saving grace to me, you know, having a family to come to every day is just wonderful. So I hope, you know, that this keeps going and that, you know, it keeps challenging me to evolve as a woman and as a human being and as a television host, because it's really fun. It's a really fun media outlet to be in. I really enjoy it. So I don't know. I think just that, all of that.
That's a lot. All of that is a lot. Amanda, I'm really glad you came on. You are impressive. And not only for your talents and your skills and the things that are being highlighted now, but also because of your resolve and your impact. The book is now out. Who is it written for? If there's somebody, like, who should go pick that up? And what message do you hope they get from it?
You know, I feel like it's kind of a book for everybody, to be honest. But I think it's especially for anyone that was, we all were impacted by the pandemic, you know, in some way, shape, or form. But it's a love story for sure. It's a love story of Nick and I, our past and what was our present. And, but it's also a story about family and how important family is and how they're, you know, putting family first is such a great way to live. And it's about silver linings, you know, as much as you can, trying to find that hope and silver linings in life, even in the darkest, worst of times. So if that, any of that resonates to you, it's the book for you.
This week's episode of Hope Still Wins is brought to you by Generous International. Generous International is a company that I co-founded. Generous donates 100% of profits to nonprofits fighting human-facing injustice. So every bag of coffee bought, every cup of coffee drank is going back to make the world a better place. Generous is best known for selling coffee, specialty grade coffee. So it's some of the best coffee in the world. You're going to drink coffee anyways, and like we like to say, why not make it life-changing coffee? Well, you can visit Generous at generouscoffee.com. Please go out today and check out Generous Coffee. Two final questions then, and I do want to take this off of what you just said. How do you find those silver linings? Now, not only from reading your book, and everybody should go do that, but how do you, in the midst of this stuff and the chaos and the confusion and the world spinning around you and things changing so fast, how do you find the silver linings?
You know, you gotta, I think by staying positive and optimistic definitely like helps you see them. But you gotta be, you have to stay aware, you know, you can't, and it's so hard. You can't let it sink into you. You can't let dark days take over your life. Because if you do, it will, you know what I mean? Like it will take over your life and it can so easily. But if you just challenge it and just, you know, say, no, not today, not today. I think the minute you make that choice and tell yourself that you're able to open up your eyes and find those silver linings. There's a beautiful, I forget, it was one of my positive quotes, but I love it so much. I can't remember who I'm quoting right now, but it's find one beautiful flower a day, one to pick. And at the end of the week, you have a gorgeous bouquet. So that's how you find those silver linings. Find one. It could be that it could be so easy. The sun is shining. You know what I mean? That's honestly a silver lining. It, like feeling sunshine, that vitamin D, it's a, you know, it's better than rain and cloudy day. You know what I mean? You just got to look for them.
Yeah. Pick one flower a day. And by the end of the week, you have a bouquet. Well, Amanda, this show is built on one question. And one question I would love for you specifically to answer. Do you believe in all of this that hope still wins? If so, why? And if not, why not?
Oh my God, I have such a good answer for this. Are you ready?
I am so ready.
Okay, here we go. I was looking through pictures on my phone just the other night, and I've never shown pictures of Nick in the hospital because honestly, it's really sad. And I was looking at these pictures, and for the first time, I was like, wow, Amanda, you were blind to what was happening. Like he is a shell of himself. I mean, I think in total, Nick lost around 70 pounds by the time he passed, weighed less than me, and he was 6'5", didn't have a leg. His toes and his fingers were black. His face was hollow. His hair hadn't been washed in 3 months. So it was like, I mean, it's awful, right? And until the day he passed, I was like, oh no, he's gonna make it. Like he's making it. Like, I mean, there was no breaking my hope. Like even when the doctors were like, he's not gonna live for another hour, I put Aretha Franklin on and I'd had Amazing Grace going on in that hospital room. And my hope was like, there's no taking away this hope. And I was looking back at these pictures and I thought, wow, no wonder the doctors and nurses were looking at me every day like I was a crazy lady. But you know what? Like, and this is your answer to your question. That hope is what got me through. And that hope is what saved me the day he finally passed. And that hope is what still saves me today when I get sad about what happened looking back at those pictures, because I can look back at that and recognize that maybe I was looking at things through very, very rose-colored glasses. And I know I was, but it doesn't matter because that hope that I had during that whole thing, even when they told me he's going to die today, I still would choose hope. I still would choose it every single time because it gave Nick hope. It gave me hope. It gave his family hope. I'm hoping it gave the world hope. And you never know. You know what I mean? We never knew. We never counted Nick out. until it was that day that he went out, you know, just that's what it is.
That's incredible. But now that things have played out the way they have, do you still see hope in that moment, or do you still believe that hope still wins?
You know, yeah, I mean, I think that it was our hope that kept Nick alive. I think he was fighting that whole time too. Absolutely. I saw it. But I think that, that hope that was, I mean, I think he felt, you know, we had the whole world, you know, Ben, like, I mean, Indonesia and like Moscow and like people were writing to me from all over the world. I think he felt that, you know, and it kept him going. It kept me going. And so, yeah, I think it wins. I think it wins every time, even when death is on the table, it still wins. It still wins.
Amanda, you're incredible. I wish you the best, the most success, the most love, the most peace, the most joy in this yet next year. Wish Elvis the best.
Thank you.
He's on our heart here. Thank you for joining us on Hope Still Wins.
Thank you so much. Nice to talk with you and meet you.
Thank you all so much for tuning in to today's episode of Hope Still Wins. If you haven't already, please subscribe or follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts. It means so much to myself and the team. If you enjoyed this conversation, please consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple and join the community over on Instagram at Hope Still Wins. As a reminder, our question from this episode is, where did you find hope in the midst of 2020 moving into 2021? What were your, as Amanda puts it, silver linings to this year? The team and I would love to hear your answers. We invite you to join us on Instagram to share your thoughts and continue the conversation. We'll be choosing a few of your responses, if you're willing, to share in a later episode. Well, everybody listening, you just wonderful, impactful, and beautiful people who are listening, that's it for today. Thank you again for tuning in to Hope Still Wins. I'm your host, as always, well, at least as long as you keep listening, Ben Higgins, and I'll see you next week.